It's great to have you here this morning at Ignite, and wasn't that beautiful? Why don't you put your hands together again for them there? You know, today is what we call Good Friday, where we remember the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Who's glad to be here? Not good enough. Who'd rather be here than in jail? Much better, much better. I know some of you are here because your family is here. Some of you may have been dragged here kicking and screaming. I hope you learned something today. I hope you understand why we revere this day and why we honor the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, crucifixion is about agony. And today I want to examine the seven agonies that Jesus went through on the cross. Not because he wanted to, not because he thought it was a good idea, not because he gained anything from it personally, but because he loves us. That's why he did it, to save us from the agony of hell. Now, why do we need a Good Friday? You know, you might say, well, is it just a day off? Is it a day when we can play, you know, football or cricket or something like that? No, we need a Good Friday because God is holy and sinful. We are sinful, rather. God is holy and we are sinful. And this places a barrier between us and God, a separation that nobody and nothing can bridge unless he steps in himself. People think, they say to me all the time, I think if I'm good enough, I can get to heaven. If I do lots of good things in my life and it outweighs the bad things, then maybe I'll get into heaven. Listen, all the good that you can possibly do will not get you to heaven because you've still sinned, as have I. We are all sinners in the sight of God. So doing lots of great things will not get you to heaven. Being a nice guy is not going to get you to heaven. But congratulations, you'll be the nicest guy in hell because it's not going to work. Being a nice guy doesn't get you to heaven. Only Jesus can get us to heaven. God knew from before the foundation of the world that all men will be sinful. And his holiness prevents him from interacting with evil. He loves us. He wants to spend eternity with us, but he cannot spend eternity with us by lowering his standards to fit us in. Because if he did that, heaven would be hell. So God's solution was to send his one and only Son to pay the price that we should have paid, to face the death that we should have faced, to face separation from God that we should have faced, and the price that we should have paid. The most famous verse in the Bible is John 3:16. It says this: For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. So Jesus was a man on a mission. He set out to save those who would accept it. Now you might ask, if God is so loving, why doesn't he save everybody? Well, the fact is, he opens the way for everybody to be saved, but not everybody accepts it. It's that simple. Everybody can be saved. In fact, 2 Peter 3 verse 9 says this: The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promises, as some count slowness. He's patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the offer is there for all. But frankly, some people just refuse to accept his free offer. They would rather live a life in rebellion to God, because they don't want to accept his free gift of eternal life. When Jesus hung on that cross so long ago, he died for all mankind, so that this Good Friday, when we remember this, you can make sure that you are going to heaven. That's the most important thing, that you accept his free gift of life. Now, we've got a cross over here. We're going to be looking at this a little bit later, that someone has made up for us here. And that cross is just a picture of what he actually went through. I can't even put into words the agony that Jesus went through on the cross, but I'm going to try and illustrate some of the agonies he dealt with. You know, the Latin or Roman word for crucifixion is the word crucier, from which we get the English word excruciating. So when people say, I was in excruciating pain, they're likening it to the crucier, the pain that Jesus went through on the cross. And he suffered that pain for 3 hours under the intense heat of the Palestinian sun until God said enough, and he covered the world with darkness. And then he suffered for another 3 hours until Jesus chose to give up his spirit. So a cross, folks, is not just a cute thing that we put at the side of a church or put up on a steeple. It's not a cute little decoration you have around your neck. When Christians look at the cross, we understand and we remember the unbearable agony that Jesus suffered for us as he sought to complete his mission. So this Good Friday, I want to share with you, as I said, the seven agonies of the cross. People say to me a lot of times, you know, my life is difficult. It's unique. You know, no one understands the problems that I have. Some people say God wouldn't understand the problems that I have. Well, let me show you that he does understand, because if you want to talk about pain, what he has been through for us trumps the lot. We're going to look at one day in the life of one man, Jesus Christ, one day when he went to be on the cross to suffer for us and die for us, that first Good Friday. And he suffered agonies that were infinitely more than we could bear. So the first agony he suffered was the agony of choice. Have you ever felt the agony of choosing to give up something you cherish? Who's felt that? Yeah, I have many times. See, Jesus is God, but he's also a servant and a sacrifice and a savior and a son. But he is God. He's not created. He is God himself. And he was, right back at the beginning, facing a choice. Does he stay where he is in heaven, exalted at the right hand of the Father? Does he stay there enjoying perfect fellowship with the Father? Or does he give it up to come to earth to save us? That was his choice. He knew we faced an eternity in hell. He knew we were separated from God. And so he chose to give up what he had to come to earth and suffer. The Bible says this in Philippians 2. It says, he was in very nature God, but he did not count equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a human servant, being made in human form, and being found in appearance as a man, he gave himself up to death, even death on a cross. See, Jesus faced the agony of choosing to leave his home, to leave his glory, to leave all the comforts and the joys there and come to earth for us. Never make the mistake of thinking that these little things, these nails, they're actually much bigger than nails that were used with Jesus. Never make the mistake of thinking that they held Jesus to the cross. You'll hear about him being nailed to the cross with these big spikes. It's not true. Nails didn't hold him there. Love held him there. That's what held him to the cross. He could have called down a legion of angels. He could have ripped those nails right out and hopped off the cross. Nails didn't keep him there. His love for you kept him there. His wish to bring you back to the Father. He could have changed his mind at any time. He chose not to, because he loves us so much. That's the first thing, the agony of choice. The second is the agony of betrayal. Have you ever in your life been betrayed or let down by someone you love? Anybody? Yeah, me too. Someone you trusted, someone you gave yourself to, someone you blessed and cared for, maybe a partner, maybe a husband or wife, a girlfriend, a boyfriend, maybe a child has let you down and broken your heart. If that's you, then Jesus understands, because he understood what it was like to be betrayed. Mark 14 verse 18 says this, they were reclining at the table, they were sharing a meal, and Jesus said, truly I say to you, one of you here will betray me, one who is eating with me. You ever had to sit at a table and look at people who've betrayed you in the face and put on a mask? Have you ever done that? Jesus is loving this guy, and he knows this guy, Judas, is going to betray him. Someone he loved, someone he served, someone he cared for and trusted was eating at the same table. This very one was going to betray him with a kiss of all things, a sign of affection. He was going to betray him. And then the rest of the disciples, the ones Jesus thought he could count on, they all just abandoned him. Peter denied Jesus three times. They completely abandoned him in his hour of need. You ever been let down in your hour of need by people? Jesus understands. He's been there. And he understands what you're going through. The third agony he faced was the agony of false accusation. Have you ever been accused of something you haven't done? Yeah? Have you ever been misunderstood? So you say something and someone takes it the wrong way and accuses you of something you didn't even mean in the first place. Jesus knows what it's like, because that's what he went through. In Matthew 27, it says this, when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he gave no answer. And Pilate said to him, do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you? But he gave no answer, not even to a single charge. And the governor was greatly amazed. You know, if you're attacked, I guarantee you the first thing you want to do is defend yourself. Is that right? Jesus chose not to. Jesus said no. He kept his mouth quiet. And he was accused and attacked by these guys. He was mocked. They hit him. They spat on him. They tortured him. They dragged him off to be murdered. And he said, no, the Lord will vindicate me. I'm a man on a mission. He didn't try and argue his way out. He understood the agony of false accusation. Number four is the agony of attack. Sort of leads into that. Have you ever been attacked by people and you don't even know why? Maybe unprovoked. You feel like you've done nothing and someone's turned on you and attacked you. Well, that's exactly what Jesus experienced as well. Matthew 27, it says this, twisted together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and beat it with a reed. The thorns we're talking about are not little tiny things from a rose. We're talking about Palestinian thorns. They're this long and razor sharp. They put them in his head and they beat it into his head till the blood ran down his cheeks, and they mocked him and they whipped him and scourged him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they spat on him. Elsewhere in the Bible describes his back being like a plowed field, because they whipped him. They tie him to a stake like this. They grab a cat of nine tails. It has all these ends on it. And into the leather is sewn bone and bits of metal and rock and stuff like that. So when they thud it into his back, it just sticks in there, and then they rip the skin from his back. That's what he went through for you and for me. Suffered unjust attacks. So if you've been hurt by others, then Jesus understands. The fifth one is the agony of perseverance. Have you ever experienced the agony of having to persevere, even when it's hurting or it's breaking your heart? Do you know what it's like to give up, not to give up on someone who is letting you down and breaking your heart? Some of you here are experiencing that right now. You're believing in someone, you're there for them, and they're letting you down. They're breaking your heart. Well, Jesus understands that. He gets in the Garden of Gethsemane right here, and he prays to the Lord in Luke 22, "Father, if you are willing, please remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done." See, sometimes we have to persevere and see things through, even when it hurts. Sometimes we have to persevere with situations, with relationships, even when it hurts, even when they're hurting us. Jesus could have quit on us. He could have said, "I'm over this, I've had enough," but he didn't do it. He saw it through. The Bible says he set his face like flint, and he determined to see this mission through because his eyes were on the goal, which was buying us back from the devil, which was opening the way for eternal life for us. And that grace is here right now, right on this day here at Easter. The sixth agony is the agony of crucifixion. When we look at this cross here, this doesn't give you, you know, even part of what he went through when you look at that. He experienced pain on a level that you would not understand, and either do I. Emotional pain, mental pain. You might have gone through pain in your life, but that's nothing compared to the excruciating pain that Jesus faced. You know, they got him there that day. They laid the cross member down, and they held him there, and then they drove these huge nails like the railway spikes through his hands and his feet. They don't put it through his hand. They put it through his wrist. They put it through his hand, it'd rip off. They put it through his wrist. And they went through his hands and his feet, and they nailed him to the cross. And then they lifted that cross up and they dropped it in its place. Can you imagine the pain as it clunks down when you're hanging pinned on nails in agony? And there he hung in agony. He could have called down a legion of angels to rescue him, but no. Jesus chose to go through that agony for you and for me. And on the cross, you die of suffocation. Okay, you're out like this and the muscles are being stretched across your chest, and physicians tell us today that you die of suffocation. And what happens is, to draw breath into your lungs, you have to pull yourself up on the nails, which is agony beyond compare. But then the pain, you lose consciousness in the intense pain and you drop down. But then the need for oxygen revives you again, and so you pull yourself up on the nails for another breath. And this went on for 3, 4, 5, 6 hours that Jesus hung there for us. And then at the appropriate moment, he chose when he would give up his life and die. Jesus underwent physical agony, an excruciating physical agony for you and for me. The seventh and greatest agony that he went through on the cross is called the agony of separation. It's the big one for him. After 6 tortuous, agonizing hours of suffering for us, Matthew 27 verse 46 says this, "Jesus cried out in a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? My God the Father, my God the Holy Spirit, why have you forsaken me? Because at that point, at that moment, God, who cannot look upon sin, saw the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, placed on his shoulders, and God the Father turned away from his one and only Son. At that moment, Jesus bore the sins of the world, your sin and my sin, and stood in our place and died the death we deserve for us because he loves us. The Bible then says this: Jesus cried out in a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. He slumped dead on that cross. See, they didn't kill him. He gave up his life. He yielded it. He could have stopped at any time, but he chose no. He was going to see this great mission through. The greatest agony of all was when he was separated from the love of the Father. He'd never been separated from the love of the Father. That's what he went through for you and for me, so that we don't have to be separated. Why did he do this? Why would he go through all this? To start a religion? No. Because he loves you. He loves you. And that's why he did it. So the question to you today that I want to ask is, how will you respond? Today we remember the agonies of Christ on the cross. Isaiah 53 says this: he's borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and by his wounds we are healed. Do you want to be healed today? Do you want your life to be healed today? Jesus hung on nails in agony for you, that your life may be full and complete. That's what he's offering this morning. On Sunday, we're going to talk about the joys and the life of resurrection life. But today we focus on the agonies of the cross and the price that Jesus paid for us all there, for us all to receive. When I look at the cross, I see pain, my pain that I've experienced, my betrayal, my heartache, the burdens I struggle with. I know Jesus bore all of those burdens for me. He not only relates to it, he not only experiences it, he paid the price for all of them. Today is Good Friday. It's not good for him. It wasn't good for him. It was a horrible day of torture and agony. But for us, it's good because we are redeemed from our sins. Truly, he has earned the right. Going through all that for you, surely he's earned the right to bear your burdens. And all it takes is a decision to accept his gift. If I'm going to give you a gift, two things must take place. One, I must decide to give it. He's already done that. Two, you must decide to receive it. It's up to you. You can walk away. You can say, oh, that's just church. That's just Christian stuff. That's just religion. But I'm telling you that it's made a difference in my life and the life of many others. Because Jesus Christ did not come to earth and hang on nails for 6 hours to make you a better person. Jesus didn't come to make bad men good. Jesus came to make dead men live. That's the difference. So today, in Revelation, just the last couple of verses in the entire Bible says this: the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let the one who hears say, come. Let all who are thirsty come and drink of the water of life without price. That's his message to you today. How will you respond? His arm is outstretched to you. That hand bearing the nail prints in it, that hand that pinned him to the cross, that same hand is outstretched to you today saying, hey, come. Why don't you come? It's open to you. It's free. I'm going to share a prayer with you right now. And as I pray, I'm going to ask you, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, make this the greatest day in the history of your life. Ask him into your life now. Ask him to come in as your Lord and your Savior. Because he paid the price already. All you need to do is accept it. Don't die in your sins. You can know right now that you're going to heaven. If I said to you, if you were to die tonight, are you going to heaven or hell? Because the Bible says it's one or the other. You might say, I'm not sure. If you're not sure, let's get sure right now. Let's be 100% certain that you are going to be with God in his heaven. Because the offer is there for you this morning. Would you bow in prayer for me as we wrap up this morning? If you've never asked Jesus into your life, let this be the greatest day ever. I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer after me. Just say these words and we'll ask him into your life together. Just say these words. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, that I've fallen short of the mark. But today, Lord Jesus, I turn away from my sin and I turn to you. I accept your gift of eternal life and I ask you into my life as my Lord and my Savior. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and let me live a life that is pleasing to you. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I'm just going to ask you to shoot your hand up nice and quick. There's a few. There's quite a few. That's awesome. We would love to catch up with you guys afterwards. It's a momentous decision. It is a life-changing decision. But for the rest, and for yourselves as well, I want to give you the opportunity to place your burdens upon the man of Calvary. He paid the price for you. And we're going to symbolically do that in a few moments. I'm going to ask you, we're going to hand out some bits of paper. Would we do that, please? Thank you. We're going to hand out some bits of paper. Take a few moments. I want you to think about the greatest burden that you suffer with. What is the greatest burden that you face right now? Is it a sin that you're grappling with, you can't sort out? Is it your whole life that's a mess? I don't know. Is it someone that you love who's breaking your heart time and time again? Is it the pain of separating from someone you love? I don't know what it is in your life, but I'm going to ask you to ask God what the greatest burden you feel is. And we're going to give you a piece of paper and a pen. I want you to write that down. Don't let anyone see. This is just between you and God. Just write it down and say, God, I want to give you this burden. Because the Bible says in 1 Peter verse 5, it says, chapter 5, it says this, cast all your anxieties, all your burdens, all your stresses upon him because he cares for you. This morning I want to give you the opportunity to lay it all at his feet, to hand over the biggest burdens you are carrying, whether it's a sin, whether it's a pain, whether it's someone letting you down, whether it's something, maybe it's something someone did to you in the past that you can't get rid of, you're just hanging on to. Today's the day. Today's the day we nail those things, those burdens, those sins, those disappointments, those heartaches to the cross. Just take a few moments and I'm going to ask you to write down one burden or at least one burden. If you want to write an essay, God would probably love that too. But just write one burden down. And we're going to nail that to the cross. Here's what we're going to do as you write that burden down. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to ask you to just, as you feel you want to, just come forward. We're going to have a team of guys here at the front. And I want you to take whatever that burden is, fold it up, and I want you to nail it to that cross. Physically, we got nails, we got hammers. We want you to physically nail that to the cross as a symbol of you giving it up to the Lord. And then we'll have someone here who's going to share communion with you, give you a little piece of bread which represents the body of Christ, a little drink of juice which represents the blood of Christ, and then just make your way back to your seat and you can sit down together there. Take the communion whenever you want to. We're not all going to wait and do it together. Just take it as you feel you want to. We're just going to sing a song over and over, and you, this is your opportunity to nail your burden to the cross, to give it to the Lord. Why don't you just take this opportunity to pray? Just close your eyes, take a few moments to pray and say, Lord, this is my burden. I lay it upon you. The Savior alone carried the cross for all of my debts.
mission complete. Forever I'm free. Calvary covers it all.
Sing it with us.